Today's scripture is Romans 12, 1 through 8. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of God for the people of God."
Thank you. You know, our youth this past weekend have been doing a great garage sale, and they've been doing it to raise money for camp and also for the mission trip. And I know a lot of you adults have been out there helping them as well. Friday morning I stopped by there, and Judy Davidson was there helping to get things organized. And she, while she was there, she found a puzzle, a 500-piece puzzle, that she decided she was going to buy. And she was all excited. She said, "I know all the pieces will be here because it's a new one." She showed me that it hadn't been opened yet. You know, it doesn't matter what picture is on a puzzle. If it's missing a piece, then it's not as good. And it's the same thing with the church. You know, if we're missing a piece or a part, then we're not complete. And we're not strong, and we're not as beautiful as what God would want us to be. God wants us to have all of the pieces in place. You know, God invites us to join Him in His work, and He invites us as individuals, but He invites us as a church to come together. And when we do that, we need to be in sync so that we're working together to serve the Lord. And that way it's a strong church that makes a difference in the world and can impact this world. And as you can see from the decorations up here, that we're getting ready for something important for our church. And it's not just one person's work, it's lots of people's work. Now, they've been working throughout this week and doing things, and believe me, there'll be even more people during the week helping. But we do Vacation Bible School because it helps to raise our children to know the Lord. But it takes lots of people, lots of pieces coming together. And that's true for everything in the church, whether it's a worship service, whether it's assisting with a funeral, whether it's helping with a garage sale, whether it's just doing the daily activities and the programs and the ministries of the church. It takes lots of pieces fitting together and lots of wonderful people pulling together to do God's work. Now you might say, well, that's true of any organization. It takes lots of people doing it. But understand that the church is different than any other type of organization. The church is for God, it is by God, and it is of God. In the first place, we gather together in order that we can give God the glory He deserves. You know, we also come together knowing that church is not our invention. It's God's plan to have church. It was God who invented the idea, and it's God who builds the church. If you think back into Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he talks to them, and he asks them, "Who do you people say that I am?" And only one of his disciples got the answer correct, and that was Peter. And he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' answer was, "On this rock, I will build my church." You see, it's Jesus' church, and he's building it. And then it's of God because it is built upon Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, "God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." You see, Christ is the body of the church. Christ is the head of the church. And we are the body of the church. Not the buildings, but we the people are Christ's body. And an easy way to think about this is when Jesus Christ was walking on this earth, before his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, when he was walking on this earth, he had a body. And so he had a body to do ministry with. But when he ascended up into heaven, he said, "I'll still be with you always." But he instructed us to go and make disciples. And he was appointing his disciples to say, "You will be my hands and my feet to make a difference in this world." So we are meant to be his disciples, his followers. We're meant to be his body making a difference to this world. And it takes all of us doing that. And actually, if you think about it, every Christian anywhere is part of the body of Christ. We call that the church universal. We're all in this together. Now, we split into individual congregations so that it's a little bit easier to come together and worship. But we're all connected to everyone else. And the main thing we need to remember is that Christ is the head. And a church that does not recognize Christ as the head is like a chicken with its head cut off. They may be running around doing things, but they aren't necessarily good things, and they certainly aren't God's will. So, how do we know God's will for the church? Simple answer. With God's help. It's with God's help that we know what we need to do as a church. It's with God's help that he pulls us together. It's with God's help that we know that we need to be praying and listening so that we know his will. And then it's with God's help that we're able to do his will, because he gives us the power and he instructs us as to how to do things. So we need to constantly be asking, "Lord, what do you want for our church? What do you want for us to be doing? How do you want us to do it?" And then we need to listen. Often we think that we should just be able to figure out what's good and what God might want. But when we do that, we get ourselves into trouble. Because we may not always know what's right. And there's a great example of this in the Bible. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, King David is talking to the prophet Nathan. And he's talking to him, and he looks around, and he's living in this wonderful palace. And he says to him, "Here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in a tent." And so Nathan the prophet just replies to him and says, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." Well, the problem is, where he said, "Whatever you have in mind," that's in David's mind. That's not God's mind. Remember, God even tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." And so even though it may be a good thing, It wasn't a God thing. If you keep reading the rest of the story in Scripture, you'll see that the Lord comes to Nathan that night. And he said, "Whoa, partner." Or maybe not those exact words, but he said, "Stop. You know, that's not what I want." And then he goes on for quite a ways telling Nathan what to go back and tell King David of what he wanted. You know, for both of them, they thought, this is a good thing. But we need to be listening to God and making sure it's really what God wants. And it makes me stop and think, how many times have I done that? How many times have we done that as a church? Just come up with something we think is really good, but we forgot to ask God what He wants. And as a church, it takes all of us listening, all of us to know what God's will is, and all of us to do God's will. It's not just for me as a pastor or just for the leaders of the church. It's for all of us. You know, right now we're in the process of doing this Healthy Church Initiative, HCI. And it's where we want to be the best possible church that we can be. You know, in doing that, we need to make sure we're listening to God. And that means for our whole church to be listening to God. Now, we are dividing into teams so that they're small enough teams that we can actually meet and get some things accomplished. But we need the entire church to be praying and listening and giving input, because we need to work together to make sure that we stay on track. And speaking about tracks, there is a wonderful example that was in our Experiencing God workbook that where it's talking about using the full body of Christ. In the Bible, it compares the body of Christ, the church, to the parts of the body. And it points out that different parts have different functions. So if you can imagine, think about the eye coming to your body and saying, "Let's go walk along the train track. I can look ahead and I don't see a train anywhere ahead of us. And so let's go walking on this train track." And you get out there and you're walking along and your ear all of a sudden says, "Hey, by the way, there's a whistle blowing behind us." But your eye says, "But I can't see anything in front of us, so I know we're okay." You know, hopefully you're going to listen to that ear that's saying the whistle's behind. You know, because we need to take use of all the body parts. And in the same way, we make use of all of the body of Christ. It's all important. It all fits together. And we need to work together in order to make sure that we're being used. You know, just as it's important to have all the body parts functioning, in the same way, it's important to have all the puzzle pieces fitting together. And in the same way, it's important to have all of the church working together. Because in all cases, whether it's body parts or puzzle pieces or the church, it takes everyone to be a part of it, to make sure that we're fitting together and we're doing what God wants for us. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that you're here today for a reason. That you're here to hear God calling on your life to make sure that you are giving back to God all that you possibly can, and that you're actively involved and giving whatever you can as far as the talents that the Lord has given you. You know, and if you are a visitor or you're watching online and you're thinking, "Well, this isn't my home congregation," well, okay, so maybe it's not to this church. But the Lord's still hopefully convicting you and reminding you that wherever your church is, that you are plugged in and that you're working together to make sure that the Lord's using you. And if this is your home church, then hopefully you're involved in ways. You know, whether you're a member or whether you've been coming for a while or whatever, we need you to function as fully committed Christians, which means you're fully committed to Christ and you're fully committed to the body of Christ. Because God has given you special purpose and a special talent and special gift and even special needs. And the church can't meet the needs of the church without you. But your needs are not met unless your puzzle piece is put in place and you're surrounded with the love of the church when you're placed in to that puzzle. That's where you meet your full potential. And that's where the church can meet its full potential. And we cannot do it alone. There's no way that we can, you know, do what needs to be done with the church without everyone together. And you can't do it alone either. You know, we are stronger together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Each one of you is an important part of this body of Christ or whatever body of Christ that you're associated with. And you need to be plugged in because we're stronger when we're all together. There's a wonderful example that talks about geese. And you may have heard this before, but I think it's a great one to use as a reminder about how the geese fly and how our lives compared as a church together can be compared to that. So when you think about the geese as they fly together, when they're, number one, when they're flying together, well, first, let me ask you this, because I just have to. Do you know why, when they're flying in a V, that one leg is longer than the other? Anyone? Because there's more birds in that leg than the other. Okay, so now we'll go on. You'll catch on. Okay, so number one, when geese are flying together, each goose provides additional lift and reduces the air resistance for the goose behind them. And so because of that, what the scientists have figured out is that the flock can go 70% farther flying like that as a flock than an individual goose could fly. You know, it's the same thing with the church. As a church, we can make a big difference together that we can't do by ourselves. Also, number two, if a goose falls out of the V formation, it quickly discovers that it requires a great deal more energy and effort to fly. And, you know, that's really what we kind of discover on our own. When we're trying to do life on our own without the support of the church, things aren't always as easy. Number three, the geese rotate leadership. You know, as the head goose is flying, as he's flying along and he gets tired, he'll rotate back so that someone else can step up. And it's the same thing with the church. Depending on, you know, what the activities are of the church, then different people step forward and take the lead, and it makes a difference. Also, I love this one. The geese honk for encouragement. You know, they encourage each other by honking, and that lets the others know, let's keep going. You know, and it's the same thing with the church. I think we need some honking every once in a while and some encouragement of, hey, you can do this and you're doing a great job. So, you know, let's do some honking around there. And then finally, the geese help each other. Because if one of the, if a goose becomes weak or sick or injured, two others from the flock will fly down with that goose and will protect it against predators and will stay with it until either it becomes well or it dies. But they never leave it. And it's the same way with the church. You know, we stick together to make a difference for each other. You know, together we can build each other up. We can give each other strength. We can accomplish so much more than we could do it on our own. And God has given us all gifts. You know, God has given you some gifts that He hasn't given anyone else. You are each very unique. And God has blessed you in certain ways. And He's given you those gifts so that they can be used to do God's purpose. And so the church is missing if you're not sharing your gifts with us. You know, the passage that Ryan just read to us from Romans chapter 12, it said, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not always have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Yet we all fit together so that all of our gifts belong to each other. And so if you are missing, then the church is missing your gift. Now, some gifts are obvious and you can recognize that they are gifts. And sometimes I think God just wants us to come before Him and say, Lord, I don't know how You want to use me. I don't know what gifts I have, but I give You my life. And use me however You need me. And I know, Lord, that when You use me, You will give me wisdom and You'll give me power and You'll help me do whatever You're calling me to do. Today in your bulletin, you were given an insert that just listed some possible ways that you might be involved. And believe me, this is just a small list. There's so many more that we could have put on there. We just brainstormed real quickly and put some down. It's more just to get you thinking of how God might be able to use you. You know, take a look at that and be thinking, if nothing else, hopefully every single one of you can look at those top two and check those. I commit myself to the Lord, and I'm willing to be used by the Lord. And there's pencils in the pew right in front of you. Or if you have a pen, pull it out. But I'd like for you to at least mark something on here. And maybe it's turning to the back and it's thinking about, what am I passionate about? You know, what has God given me that might be used in some way? And you may not even know how it can be used right now, but you're just thinking, hey, this is one of my talents. This is one of my resources. This is something that's important to me. This is something that I'm passionate about. Just think about anything that God has given you and allow God to figure out how He wants to use it. And please do not say, you know, I'm too old for this or there's nothing that I can do. There is always something that God is wanting to use us for. This past week I read obituary, and it was just probably one of the sweetest obituaries I've read. It was about Miss Jean Christie. And she passed away this week at the age of 111 years old. She was a member of Andrews United Methodist Church in North Carolina. And when she was 105 years old, she decided she could be doing more for her congregation. And so she called up her pastor and said, I need to be doing something. And I think I can use my telephone skills to encourage other people. And so she became their birthday ambassador. So when people in the church or involved in the church in any way had a birthday, then they got a call from Miss Jean Christie. And she would call them and say, your church wants to wish you a happy birthday, and so does Miss Christie. Now, what a delight it would have been to get a call like that. You know, she served to the very end. She never stepped back and said, hey, that it's time for somebody else to do that. She said, I'm available. And that's what we all need to do. You know, whatever our gifts are, whatever our talents are, whatever we have, what we need to do is just say, Lord, I'm placing this on the altar. You know, I offer myself to You as a living sacrifice. You know, just as the scripture that we read earlier, you know, that we'll offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is our spiritual act of worship. And all you have to do is say, Lord, this is available for You. Now, the Lord will decide how He's going to use it or what He's going to do. But if you at least make it available to Him. In a few moments, we're going to have Holy Communion. And let me just encourage you with those cards, if you'll go ahead and take some time to mark those. And when you come up to receive Holy Communion, remember that you've already received incredible blessings from God in so many ways. And He's just saying, are you willing to lay whatever I've given you before on the altar that I might be able to use it in some way? So as you come for Holy Communion in a moment, if you'll bring those, and you can just lay them, you know, right in front of you on the floor or as you're kneeling, you know, there on the rail. But to give back to God. Because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we cannot know and do the will of God unless all of us are involved. And you are important. Every one of you are so important. So join together and let's make sure that we're all knowing and doing the will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, you did bring us here for a reason. There is a purpose in each one of our lives. Lord, you created us, and there's so much more that we can be doing with our lives. But there's no way that we'll ever meet our potential, that we're ever fulfill our purpose in life without you guiding us. And you put us in the body of Christ. Whether it's this congregation or another one, you have placed us there and put on our hearts that we need you and your body of Christ needs us. Lord, we are stronger when we're all together. So help each and every one of us to know what you're calling us to. And Lord, we may be filling out these cards and having no idea of what to put on there. But if nothing else, let us just sign our names and say, Lord, I offer you myself. I know that you can take it from there. Whatever I am, whatever I have, whatever will be in the future, I give to you, Lord. Gracious God, guide each one of us so that we might fully be committed to you, to serve you with our whole hearts. In your holy name we pray. Amen.